Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I'm glad you're here with us. If this is your first time in a while, welcome. We have been walking through the first chapter of Philippians, and just as one of the letters we find of God's Word, Philippians is one of the most encouraging places we can go in God's Word. So I'm glad to be here in Philippians this morning. I hope you are too. Here's the deal. There's passages that we come across, and even as I preach on Sunday mornings, I know that there are Sunday mornings that when I preach certain passages, I know that for some people, it's just going to be nuggets that we need to take, we need to put in our back pockets for later, or we need to take and we need to put in our back pockets to give to someone else. But here's the deal. Today, we're on a passage that I don't think anybody... In fact, I believe, and I know that there's no one sitting in this room that this passage does not apply to today. In other words, I don't think there's anybody in this room that can go home and not leave with something from this passage that will change the rest of their day. So, are you ready to dive into God's Word? I want to ask you, I don't always do this, I want to ask you to stand as we read this passage together this morning. Stand, and if you have a copy of God's Word, put your attention on it. I'm going to start in the second part of verse 18 with the word yes, and then we're going to read down to verse 30. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We adore you. We thank you this morning for the perfect life of your Son, Jesus. We thank you this morning for the sacrificial death on the cross on our behalf of Jesus. And we thank you for his resurrection, and that today we can stand and sing to him because he is alive and reigning in heaven and awaiting his return. God, thank you for that. Thank you for your word, Lord. We pray that you would do work on our hearts this morning that only you can. For those of us who know you and are in Christ this morning, are Christians, God, we pray that you would use this morning to make us more like you. And for those who are here who may not have placed faith in Jesus yet, Lord, we pray that you would convict them of their sin and your righteousness and lead them to faith in you this morning. We pray these things in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look at the whole of verse 18 before we dive completely into this passage. Start at the beginning of verse 18, the part that we didn't read this morning. Paul is reflecting in verse 18 on what he has just said in the previous verses so far in this letter. He is speaking of his imprisonment and the gospel being preached at times just to hurt him and at other times with good motives to actually spread the gospel. And in verse 18 he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." So Paul is currently rejoicing because he's saying, look, God is using my imprisonment to spread the gospel. There's people outside these walls that are still preaching the gospel with good motives, and both of those things I rejoice. And there's even people outside these walls that are preaching the gospel just to try to make it harder on me. And even in that, I rejoice because the gospel is spreading. And then he gets to the second part of verse 18 and he says, yes, and I will rejoice. In other words, I'm rejoicing because of these things now, but in the future, I'm looking to what will happen and I know will happen and I'm going to be rejoicing then too. And so the things he's about to say down to verse 30, these things are calls for Paul's joy. I want you to keep that in mind as we look at this passage this morning. What we see in this passage is a different perspective on life, a different perspective, a new perspective, if you will, on life and suffering and death. We see it all right here in this passage. My prayer for us this morning is that if we haven't gained that perspective yet, that this morning we would. And as Christians, at some point in your life, we came to Christ knowing that he lived his life with a particular end in mind, and he suffered with a particular end in mind, and he died with a particular end in mind. And because of those things and our faith in him, we now have a new perspective on Christ. Some of us know that perspective, we just don't live in light of it. So my prayer for us as Christians this morning is that we would be reminded of that perspective and begin praying that the Lord would help us live in light of it. So, three pieces of truth this morning from this passage. The first is this. In Christ. In other words, those of us who are safe and secure in him as a result of simply placing our faith in him and what he's done on our behalf in his life, death, and resurrection. Those of us who are Christians, in Christ, we gain a new perspective on life. In other words, we look at life differently now that we are Christians. We see this all over this passage. Before we dive into it, I want us to think about how people in the world and how the world leads us to think about life and the purpose of it. You think of our world today, I don't think it's changed all that much over the years. It looks different. But for the most part, those outside of Christ live their lives to seek pleasure. And at different stages of life, we see people seeking pleasure in different ways. Some people seek pleasure physically, through sex and substance abuse, and sometimes through food. Sometimes people seek pleasure through relationships. We see people seek pleasure through romantic relationships. Later in life, we see people seeking pleasure through their relationship with their children and their relationship eventually with their grandchildren. And there is great pleasure to be had in all of those things. God does not condemn those things. The difference between what the Bible teaches and what the world teaches us is that the world teaches us that that is what life is all about. In fact, that is the very purpose of a life, of our life, to seek pleasure. A few years ago, young people, you can tell me if this word is still relevant. I know it was a few years ago. YOLO was a thing that was being said. It was an acronym. Is it still relevant? No. Okay. Well, it was. And it was an acronym for "you only live once." It was a slogan for the way people were living at one time. Do what you can do to get pleasure now, because this is your life. This is it. While you can, you only live once, so get what you can while the getting's good. Right? These are the things that our world teaches us to live for. You can even see it in one of the large problems in our country now, like with the issue of abortion. The idea of pleasure, and this isn't always the case, but the idea of pleasure, the idea of comfort, the idea of I want my life to live it the way I want to live it, trumps the life inside of her or inside of me. And so seeking pleasure trumps any kind of hardship that the pregnancy may bring, and eventually a baby may bring, a child may bring. You see that in our world today? And we see it, we gain a different perspective all over Scripture, but particularly in this passage. Look at verses 19 and 20, what Paul says. He says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." And that word deliverance, he's not talking about his immediate release. Remember, he's in prison right now. He's not talking about his immediate release, my deliverance from prison. He's talking about, regardless of whether I live or die, Jesus is going to save me. I will be delivered. So he says, through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Verse 20, "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." So here's what Paul's thinking. He's saying, I'm in prison. I'm awaiting trial. This is what historically was going on. Paul's in prison, awaiting trial. He doesn't know what the results of that trial may be. It could very well end up in his execution. It's a very possible reality for him. So he's saying, whether I die, I know the Spirit of Christ and your prayers will give me the ability to honor Christ in my death, in how I die. But if I live, I will also be able to honor Christ with the help of the Spirit and your prayers. If I live, I will honor Christ. Do you see the purpose, the perspective of Paul about life so far? He's saying, if I die, I'm going to honor Christ, but also if I live, I'm going to honor Christ. You see it so far? And keep looking. Verse 21. He says it more specifically. This is that verse that so many of us love. Verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So he says it very bluntly. To live is Christ. In other words, if I live, I'm not going to finish my bucket list. I'm not going to go find a plane to jump out of, and I'm not going to go climb Kilimanjaro. I'm going to live and I'm going to imitate Christ. That will be the purpose of my life. A different perspective. Whereas if somebody in our world today had this opportunity and they said, I may die, I may live. If I live, I'm going to live my life to the fullest, right? YOLO, right? It's relevant at least this morning, guys, okay? So you see the perspective. You keep going and you say, okay, how is Paul going to imitate Christ? What exactly does he mean? Verse 22, he says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. In other words, he's going to bear spiritual fruit if he can continue to live. He's going to live as Christ leads him to live. He's going to live as he knew Christ lived when he was here on this earth. Going down to verses 24 through 26, he says, but to remain in the flesh, in other words, that means to continue to live here on this earth, remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Remember, he's speaking to the church. He's telling them what he will believe, he believes will happen. And he believes what will happen is that his work here on this earth is not done. So he's saying, I think the Lord's going to keep me around for you. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So let's pause just one second. Paul says to live is Christ, to imitate him. He says, if I'm going to be in the flesh, if I'm going to continue to live on this earth, I will bear fruit. Then he gets even more specific. He says, Philippians, I think that I will remain here. And if I remain here, it is for your progress and joy in the faith. So here's Paul's idea of living. He says, if the Lord grants me to continue to live life here on this earth, I'm going to continue to pour into you so that your faith will continue to grow. There's a word we use here for this. Discipleship. Paul says, look, if the Lord allows me to live, I'm going to pour into other people so that they may know Jesus more and so that they can pour into other people so that they may know Jesus more. In other words, what we say around here is, I'm going to make disciples who do what? Make disciples. That is Paul's purpose in life. When he's facing possible death, he's saying, I'm going to remain here for your progress and joy in the faith. He doesn't say, I'm going to finish my bucket list. He says, I'm going to make disciples who will make disciples. It's a different perspective, isn't it? Even as he says this about himself, he encourages them to live the same way. Look at verses 27 to 28. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a sign, a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. So he doesn't just apply this idea, this perspective on life to himself. He goes ahead and applies it to the Philippian church. And we see that today it applies to us in 2018 in Grady County. Paul had a different perspective. It's kind of like those people, you probably know one of these people. You may be one of these people. When you hear of like a tornado warning or watch, and there's like a possible tornado, or there is a tornado. You know that one guy that like is begging to get in his truck and drive towards it? Anybody know that guy? Are any of you that guy? That's a different perspective on tornadoes. Most people run from them or hunker down. And Paul has a different perspective on life. While most people are going, live it while you got it. Seek all the pleasure you can find. You only live once. Do what you can while you're here. Paul is going, no, no, no. To live is Christ. To live is to bear fruit that only He can cause you to bear. To live is to pour your life into others so that they may become more like Christ and lead others to do the same. Our lives are meant to be fruitful, church, for the kingdom. Our lives here on this earth are meant to be fruitful for the kingdom. Our lives are meant to be poured into other believers. Our lives are meant to be poured out as a testimony before unbelievers that they might believe. And this is the first thing we see in this passage, a new perspective on life. Do you see it? This brings us to the truth piece too. In Christ, we gain a new perspective on suffering. Now you think of suffering in the way the world thinks about it. Suffering is something to be avoided at all cost. It is useless pain. There's no purpose in suffering. In fact, in some cases, in some places around our world, and it's becoming a more dominant thought even in our own country, suffering is a cause to end life. So on one side you have abortion, on the other side you have something called euthanasia, where we take the life of those who are suffering because we don't think their life is any longer worth living because of suffering. And here we gain a different, a better perspective on suffering. Look at Paul's life. Look at verses 19 and 20 again. He says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." He's talking about his imprisonment, but in general, Paul is suffering at this point. And in general, since Paul has been spreading the gospel, Paul has suffered in numerous different ways. You can go read about 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He lists just some of the ways he has suffered because of Jesus, or for Jesus. So Paul is currently suffering. Verse 20, he's looking at the possibility of his death, and he says, "I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." So I want you to think about the possibility of what Paul's facing here. He's talking about being executed, and in that, he will suffer. In other words, he's talking about following Christ's example in suffering. Jesus didn't just live an easy life for us. He suffered for us, for our sake. Paul isn't just simply talking about living the 32 years prior to the week that Jesus was arrested and put on trial and tortured and then crucified. He's not just talking about imitating that part of his life prior to that week. He's also talking about imitating Jesus' life as Jesus suffered on our behalf. So Paul says, whether by life or by death, we could insert by suffering, Christ will be glorified in my body. Verse 23, "I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart." In other words, his desire is to be with Jesus, is to die. He says to die would be better, to be with Christ. At the end of verse 23, "For that is far better." And the reason that it's far better from where Paul stands is because Paul is suffering. And you skip down to verse 28 as he begins to talk directly about the Philippians situation. Verse 28, look at what he says to them. He says, "Not frightened in anything by your opponents." What would they be frightened about? He's talking about the same people that are causing him to suffer going after the Philippian church. He's talking about the very real possibility that the Philippian Christians, may also suffer. That's why he says, "Not be frightened by anything." This is a clear sign of them, of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Look at verse 29. "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Now that is a memory verse. Let me read it again. Look at verse 29 in your Bibles. "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." That word "granted" in your Bible is like the same word. It comes from the same word as the word "grace." So if you give somebody grace, you grant them life or grant them something they didn't deserve. a good thing that they didn't deserve. That's the definition of grace. Paul says, it has been granted to you that you should not only believe in Christ and have life in him, but that you should suffer for his name's sake. And we go, wait, what? It puts later on when he says in chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, in a little bit different light, doesn't it? The reason he says this, and there's a lot more to be said about suffering as a Christian, but the reason he said this is because in suffering, Paul knew this. He could testify this from so many different perspectives in his life. But in suffering, we are brought to the end of our strength, to the end of our willpower, to the end of our resources, what we can provide for our own selves. We are brought to the very end of ourselves till we have nothing left. And at the end of ourselves, guess who we meet? Jesus. And when we meet Jesus, we experience his resources, his provision. We experience his power, his strength, his will. And through suffering, we get acquainted with our Savior like no other situation. Some of you can testify to that just from the last 2 weeks. You were brought to the end, and then you saw your Savior provide. Some of you can testify to that from years or months past. Some of you can testify that from multiple situations in your life. Paul's not saying God causes us to suffer, but he's saying that God uses suffering in our life in such a way that we are better off at the end of it because we are brought closer to our Savior. He speaks more about suffering in chapter 3, so we're going to leave it at that. But this is why Paul says it has been granted to you not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. It's a different perspective on suffering, isn't it? It is no reason to take our lives or to encourage someone else to bring their life to an end or to say, it's over, you just got to last till the end. No, it is an opportunity to grow closer to our Savior. So in Christ, we gain a new perspective on life. We gain a new perspective on suffering. We will see that more clearly in chapter 3 later on in the weeks ahead. And finally, we gain a new perspective on death. Most of our world believes death to be the end of everything. Some of them believe it to be a gateway to another life or a different life or paradise or some type of hell. But we see a different perspective here. Some of them view death as the tardy bill. In other words, if you haven't checked all the right religious boxes by the time death tolls, it's too late and you're going to hell. And if you have checked all the right religious boxes before you die, then you're going to be good, as long as you do all the right things. And we gain yet another different perspective here about death. Look at verse 20. The last part of it says, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. So Paul sees an opportunity in dying to glorify God. I want you to think about this for a second. Some of us, death will come quickly and unexpectedly. Some of us, we will see death coming for months, maybe even years. And for us, just like for Paul, death is an opportunity to glorify God. This isn't always true, but I think it's true for most people. Most people within their families will have the ear of their family and the influence over their family greater in their dying days than at any other point in time. So your family, your believing family, young in the faith, or your unbelieving family members, see you dying and see your faith strong in the midst of suffering and in the face of death. Guess that what that is going to communicate to them about Jesus? He's worth it. We should die differently than the world dies. Paul saw an opportunity in death to glorify God. Verse 21. I'm hard pressed between the two, living and dying. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So Paul sees death as the gateway to greater fellowship with Jesus, closer fellowship with Jesus. So he says it outright. Look, dying and being with Jesus is better than anything about this life here and now. So in death, we have an opportunity to glorify Christ, but in death, we meet face to face Jesus. We have closer fellowship with him than any day we will have fellowship with him here and now. Praise God, we do have it with him now, because of his life, death, and resurrection. But when we die, we will have perfect fellowship with him. Paul was not anxious about any of these things. He wasn't anxious about living and how he would survive and pouring into the church. If God granted him that, so be it. He would work to live as Christ. If he suffered, he wasn't anxious about that. He would glorify God in his suffering. If he died, it was better. He wasn't running around like prepping for a hurricane, trying to get everything in order, checking the right religious boxes before he died. He had peace because he knew Jesus had already done it all for him. He was at peace. When you think about this, he was at peace like a soldier just awaiting his orders, trusting the authority above him to say, you need to be here living or here with me. Either way, Paul was a good soldier for Jesus. He was ready to go wherever he had him serving. And we are surrounded by people, church. We are surrounded by people who are living their life trying to seek the most pleasure they can get out of it today. And we have a greater pleasure to come. And not only that, we have a greater pleasure here now living in Christ than we could ever find outside of him. We are surrounded by people who are running around like trying to prep for a hurricane coming, trying to check all the religious boxes, anxious about life, anxious about death. And we don't have to be anxious about either. Because in living, he will give us the strength. In dying, we will be with him. In Christ, we should live differently, suffer differently, die differently than the world around us. Because we have a different perspective. In dying, we don't grieve at the loss of pleasure in this life because we know we will be with Jesus. In dying, we aren't anxious, hoping we've checked all the right religious boxes. Listen to this, especially if you're here and you go, and I don't know if I have a relationship with Jesus or not. We are not anxious. If we are in Christ, we're not anxious about dying because we're wondering if we've checked all the right religious boxes, because we put faith in Jesus and he's already checked them all. In dying, we aren't full of guilt and shame over our past transgressions and sin, because we know Jesus on the cross already paid for them and covered them all. We're at peace, whether living or dying. You may say, I am at peace about all of those things in my life, but the one thing about dying that doesn't give me peace is leaving my loved ones. I'm not at peace about that. And I would say, like, just studying through this week, this is kind of what grabbed me. Like, Jesus, what about my family? What about my kids, my wife? I don't want to leave them without a husband and a father. And here's the deal. Paul believed with his whole heart that if it was necessary, verse 24, if it was necessary that he stay for the sake of those people, Jesus would keep him there. And if Jesus took him home and he died, Jesus would provide all that those people needed. So, church, we don't even have to be anxious for our loved ones in death. Because Jesus will take care of us, and he will take care of them. It's a new perspective, isn't it? The question for us as a church this morning is, are we living in light of that? Or are we living with the perspective of the world? Believing the perspective of God, but living in light of the perspective of the world. Some of us today need to come to our Father and say, Lord, I know these things to be true, but it is so hard for me to live in light of this new perspective on life, suffering, death. So Father, please help me. Some of us need to do that today. Some of you may be here today and you don't know whether you're a Christian or not. You know you aren't. And you just need to know. Jesus lived for you, died for you. He suffered for you, he died for you, he rose up from the dead for you. And there's no one else to trust with your life and your eternity other than him. And you can do that today. Myself, Pastor Robbie, Dustin, we would all love to sit down with you and show you what it means to trust Jesus with your life in the Word this morning. You can come forward as we sing. You can wait till after service is over and come find one of us. We'd love to walk you through the Word. Paul could say all of these things confidently. Remember the first thing he said in the second part of verse 18 before he started talking about this? Yes, and I will rejoice. The reason he could rejoice and have joy in spite of living, suffering, or dying in Christ is because of his assurance that he was in Christ. So today, we're going to end our time together singing of the assurance that we have in Christ, reminding ourselves of the new perspective that we have in Christ on life, on suffering, and in death. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. And Lord, we thank you so much for the hope that we have in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. For the peace that we have and that is available to us in living for you and in suffering in this life and even in dying. God, we thank you. You are so good to us. You love us and bless us in so many ways, but especially when it comes to perspective on life, suffering, and death. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and on our hearts today. I pray that you would work on the hearts of the individuals who have yet to place faith in you today. I pray that you would be glorified by our song and glorified by the way we leave here today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Away. Oh, the over. your fault, still your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shit.